Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is where the fun begins.
Chewie, we're home.
Welcome back into the Blue Mill Cafe. Grab an empty stool at the counter, order a cup of Jawa juice, and a bite to eat, because we're about to talk all things Star Wars. Welcome back into the cafe. This is episode 45. My name is Jeff. And on this week's episode, I thought I'd try something a little different. I do not have a topic to talk about this week. I was trying to come up with a Star Wars topic to talk about, and I just could not think of one. So what I did this morning to try to get an inspiration for a topic is I sat down here at my computer and I started surfing YouTube. And what I came across, though, is a bunch of old interviews from the original trilogy that I never saw or heard before. So what I thought I'd do was record those interviews and play them back here for you as an episode of the Blue Mill Cafe. Now, hopefully most of you are like me and haven't heard of these before, so they'll be new to you. But if you have heard these interviews before, I hope you enjoy listening to them again. And I will try to link the YouTube videos to the interviews in the show notes. But if I don't do that, I apologize, because this episode actually is going to take a little more work than usual for me. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all these interviews that I record this morning and edit them into one long audio track, so there won't be any interruptions in between the interviews. So I will do that, play the interviews for you, and hopefully you will enjoy them. If you heard them before, or if it's the first time you're listening to them, I think you will enjoy them, because I found them really, really interesting. But before we get into the interviews, I have to go over last week's BMC question of the week. Last week's BMC question of the week was a would you rather, and it was, would you rather live on Kashyyyk or Endor? Now, for me, I say Kashyyyk because they have both forest and beaches. I do love the Ewoks. I did love Endor, but to me, I just would like to try Kashyyyk first. So let me read the responses I got. I got quite a few. I think this is the first question I've got that I've gotten double-digit replies. I believe I got 10 here. Let's start here with Nerf Herder, a Star Wars podcast. They said Kashyyyk. At the Bookish Rebel said Kashyyyk for sure. At Star Warsian, I hope I got that right, 100% Kashyyyk. Monica of Mandalore, I like those Wookiees, so I take it that's Kashyyyk. Camray, at Camray, said Kashyyyk. My buddy Professor Ravencourt over at the University of Coruscant said Kashyyyk. My buddies over at Conversations. Endor. We got our first Endor from Conversations. Michael the Condor said, I would want Kashyyyk. So there's another Kashyyyk. Charlie Red 4 says Endor. And our buddy, everybody's buddy, Anthony, a royal farm boy, says the forest moon of Endor. So that is your responses from the BMC question of the week from last week. Would you rather live on Kashyyyk or Endor? Now, this week's BMC question of the week, I will give it to you now since the rest of the episode is going to be interviews. The BMC question of the week this week would be another would you rather. Would you rather live on Coruscant or Naboo? Now, for me, pretty easy for me to decide. I do love a city. I do love New York City. I do love the big cities, but I would have to go with Naboo. I just love the option to live in the city or go out and live by the lakeside. So I would say Naboo. Now, of course, that question will be posted and pinned to the top of my Twitter account at that BMC pod. You can go answer it there and I'll read out the responses on next week's show. Now, one other piece of business I have to take care of before we get into the interviews is my BMC shout-outs here in the pod corner for different Star Wars podcasts that I shout out that I think you should go give a listen to. Now, this week's shout-outs will go to... The first one would be Kanata's Castle. Very good podcast. Great Star Wars topics. Go give them a listen. You will not be disappointed, I promise you. And my other shout out is going to go to Jawa Jabber. They're a fairly new Star Wars podcast, but I've been listening to them ever since they started. They are a very good podcast as well. Go give them a listen. Kanata's Castle and Jawa Jabber. You won't be disappointed. Now, I am going to go ahead and take a quick break here. But after the break, when we come back, you won't hear my voice. You'll hear the beginning of the interviews. And I believe the interviews, I have one from Sir Alec Guinness, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill. And I think there's another one in there that's like a collage of different, like Anthony Daniels, Dave Prowse, and stuff like that. You'll hear them. I will try to list them in the show notes so you can go watch them on YouTube if you like. But I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back from the break, you will be hearing the interviews.
Good morning, Jeff. The usual?
Nah, not this morning, Dex. I had a bad Ronto wrap last night and my stomach is killing me now.
Sorry to hear that. We're not in Batu, you know.
Does your stomach feel like you've eaten a bunch of death sticks? Trust Galacta-Seltzer to ease heartburn faster than a Nezu.
Wow! I feel great, Dex. Thanks.
You want that calf to go?
Yes, please. I'm ready to take on those rebels.
Galacta-Seltzer. Always the one. No more, no less. Results not guaranteed.
Star Wars figures. R2-D2. Chewbacca, Luke, and Princess Leia. They're the Star Wars Early Bird set of figures. These action figures are not yet available, but this Star Wars Early Bird certificate package is in stores. With this colorful Star Wars picture display stand and certificate, to send in to get a set of figures by mail. They'll be sent to you at home between February 1st and June 1st. The Star Wars Early Bird certificate package. New from Kenner.
It's Darth Vader, watch out! And he's got a lightsaber!
It's Kenner's new Star Wars action figures, each sold separately.
I got you now, Ben Kenobi.
With R2-D2 and C-3PO. There's even Chewbacca and Han Solo.
Someone's coming, Chewie.
Who's there?
It's Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker!
Now I know the Force is with us.
Darth Vader, R2-D2, C-3PO, and other Kenner Star Wars action figures, each sold separately. It's Star Wars radio-controlled R2-D2. 2 9-volt and 2C alkaline batteries not included. You can make R2-D2 move, beep, and flash his light by wireless radio control.
Hey, let me try.
You can make R2 move forward.
Look out, Dad!
Backward, turn and beep.
Hurry, turn, Dad!
Radio-controlled R2-D2 from the Star Wars Collection by Kenner.
Look!
The Empire Strikes Back is an all-star cast. But that wasn't the case 3 years ago when they did Star Wars. The actors were struggling unknowns then. Mark Hamill had done a little TV work. David Prowse was lifting weights in England and wondering what a Darth Vader was. His fellow Britisher Anthony Daniels was a London stage actor who did not want to play C-3PO.
Where is R2 when I need him?
Harrison Ford was an unemployed actor working as a carpenter until the day he started doing Han Solo. And Carrie Fisher was trying to be something more than the daughter of Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher.
I don't like this.
But with The Empire Strikes Back, it's a different scene. Now the kids from outer space have fame, fortune, and international stardom.
Right now I feel like I can take on the whole empire myself.
I know what you mean.
And Mark Hamill has something else. Mark, since I saw you last, you got married, you have a baby now.
I have a son, yeah. He's 10 and a half months old. And I must say that everyone was eyeing him very conspicuously, because when they go back and do the stories that were 20 years earlier, in the third story, you see how Darth Vader came to power and fell from grace, and how the Obi-Wan character had battled with Darth and why he was forced to wear this mask. But in the third, in that picture, which is the film that immediately precedes Star Wars, there's like an 8-year-old Luke running around and playing in the background. And I said, wait a minute, one actor in the family is enough for me.
What did you name your baby?
Nathan.
Not Luke.
Not Luke, no. Okay. I think that'd probably be like Christopher Reeve naming his kid Kal-El or Clark.
The Empire Strikes Back reveals a secret connection between Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. It was such top secret, David Prowse didn't even know, and he plays Darth Vader. They fooled him with a bogus script. Mark Hamill was the only actor who knew the secret. So were you surprised at that revelation?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And hopefully it will surprise the viewers.
And we're not about to give it away.
It surprised me, actually, because I didn't know anything about it until I was sat in the cinema last Saturday, and that was the first I knew of it.
And yeah. What did you do?
Practically collapsed in the seat.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker. You are not a Jedi yet.
David Prowse's English accent is not what George Lucas wanted for Darth Vader, so James Earl Jones does Vader's voice. And you may notice, Darth Vader looks different this time. Have they changed Darth Vader's mask and his whole look?
Yes, they have, very slightly, yes. They made all sorts of improvements to it, because first and foremost, you see, on the previous one, they decided that they could see through into the eyepieces, and so they put darker lenses in. Then they've also made the mask, I think they made the mask a different colour, in fact, out of a different fiberglass, a greyish colour. And then on top of all this, they've altered the breathing hole at the bottom, so that I could. In fact, I used to use the breathing hole as a vision hole, because when you look through the mask, you can't see anything about 6 feet in front of you, and you have to look through the breathing hole at the bottom to see what's down by your feet. And also, of course, the whole thing is lacquered this time. They had this lacquer on it, and it's all very, very shiny all the time.
I merely commented that it was.
C-3PO also got a new suit. Anthony Daniels insisted the old suit of gold had to go.
What was so difficult about the first one?
It was too small, basically. And when I mean, it's bad enough having a pair of trousers that are too tight, but if they happen to be made of metal.
You have no idea the torture this man endured to play that part. He was seldom seen Tony, because it took so long to put him into the costume and it took so long to take him out of it that we seldom saw him.
It was like making my own private film in there, because any scene which we're in together, I mean, there's this wall between us, and I can see through little peepholes. He can't see me at all. And what is curious is even Harrison will spend the whole day in a scene looking at my left ear because he can't see my eyes and he thinks they're here somewhere. And all that. But I'm pretty tough to act with. I mean,
I wouldn't say so at all, I think.
But it's not easy acting with a faceless thing.
No.
Might I have a word with you, please?
What do you want?
Well, it's Princess Leia, sir. She's been trying to get you on the communicator.
I turned it off. I don't want to talk to her.
Well, Princess Leia is wondering about Master Luke. He hasn't come back yet. She doesn't know where he is.
I don't know where he is.
Nobody knows where he is.
What do you mean nobody knows?
Well, you said...
Deck officer! Deck officer!
Excuse me, sir. Might I...
Well, what characterization you've given it is entirely your own, and that's... It's remarkable.
But how does it feel kind of being faced with a metal plate?
Wait a second. This is not my interview. It doesn't feel bad at all. I think that Lucas was very clever to give the robots a real human personality and real...
Which is why I took the job. I mean, very much against my will, you know, to begin with. I wouldn't even consider it, and then I did. And then I read the character that George had created. Stunning. Very human. And I play it human. I mean, if 3PO is smiling, you take the mask away, I'm smiling too.
Excuse me, sir. Might I inquire what's going on?
Why not?
Impossible, man. Come along, R2. Let's find Princess Leia. Between ourselves, I think Master Luke is in considerable danger.
All right, boys, keep tight now.
Luke, I have no approach vector. I'm not set.
Steady, Dak. Attack pattern Delta. Go now.
George Lucas is planning 9 space adventures. He began with the middle stories. Star Wars was actually number 4. The Empire Strikes Back is 5th, and the next one, due out in 1983, will be episode number 3. Harrison Ford believes it may be his last one as Han Solo.
The story that we're engaged in now really concludes itself in the next film. And then George moves on with the same milieu, but different characters into the 3 that follow this. Or they may be 3 that precede it. I don't know exactly what the plan is, but our characters more or less conclude their story in the next one.
And yours as well, C-3PO?
Well, there are vague thoughts that the two robots go on through the whole thing, which I don't know whether they do or not. Whether I could play 3PO at the age of 60, I mean, when I was 60, is a question housewives all over America are asking themselves.
No one to meet us.
I don't like this.
What would you like? Well, they did let us land.
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me. See? My friend. Keep your eyes open, huh?
Slimy, double-crossing, no-good swindler.
You got a lot of guts coming here after what you pulled.
How you doing, you old pirate? So good to see you.
I never thought I'd get to see you again.
Well, he seems very friendly.
Yes, very friendly.
Billy Dee Williams is the new kid in The Empire Strikes Back. He's the only black among the major characters.
Hello, what have we here?
Welcome, I'm Lando Calrissian. I'm the administrator of this facility. And who might you be?
Leia.
Welcome, Leia.
Billy, do you think that there are going to be some people who are going to say, oh, well, there he is, the token black now, and... what do you have to say to those
people? Well, I don't think about things like that, really. I just want to have a lot of fun, and this is part of it. And I was very pleased to be invited as a part of the Star Wars cast.
Princess Leia has a new hairdresser this time. The hairy earmuffs Carrie Fisher objected to in Star Wars are gone. But Carrie says some things didn't change. She remembers the cockpit scenes as the most difficult, because she had to imagine what was all around her.
Hey, Your Worship, I'm only trying to help.
Well, that's where they put all the blue screen stuff. So when we're in a cockpit and you see stars, or when we do, we see it for the first time like anybody else. There's nothing there. And, you know, that's a lot of times that they'll shoot the front of that, then they'll shoot the side of it, then they'll shoot the back of it. And all the time you got to match exactly what you did when you did the first one, which would be the front of it.
Yeah, there's so much more activity and so much more action going on.
In a little cramped quarters, it's just real hot.
You make it so difficult sometimes.
I do, I really do. You could be a little nicer, though. Come on, admit it. Sometimes you think I'm all right.
Occasionally, maybe, when you aren't acting like a scoundrel.
Scoundrel? Scoundrel? I like the sound of that.
Stop that.
Stop what?
Stop that. My hands are dirty.
My hands are dirty, too. What are you afraid of?
Afraid?
You're trembling.
I'm not trembling.
You like me because I'm a scoundrel. There aren't enough scoundrels in your life.
I happen to like nice men.
I'm a nice man.
No, you're not.
Sir, I've isolated the reverse power flux coupling.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh.
Critics almost universally praise Star Wars, and generally they like The Empire Strikes Back. But some fans and critics don't like Empire's cliffhanger ending. Irvin Kershner directed Empire for George Lucas. He defends the ending.
Did you shoot more than one ending?
No. This was the ending. The ending may jar them only because they saw Star Wars 1. And there was a triumphant ending.
First transport is away. The first transport is away.
Director Kershner compares The Empire Strikes Back to the second act of a play. It paves the way for the third act. But in this case, the third act won't be ready until 1983. That may be a long time to hang by our fingernails, but George Lucas and his fantastic filmmakers are counting on us to remember the Force will still be with us 3 years from now. And if Lucas makes all 9 episodes, the Force may be around until 2001.
Now, let's talk about the latest aspect of your career, which is, quite extraordinary. You've been all these years in movies, now all of a sudden you've hit the jackpot with a thing called Star Wars, which I saw last week, and I think just looked at it. I think it's super. I think it's marvelous escapism, and it'll clean up. But, I mean, how did you come to be involved with a piece of science fiction like that?
Well, it arrived as a script. I was just finishing a picture in Hollywood. I took another day to go, and the script arrived on my dressing table. And I heard that it had been delivered by George Lucas. And I thought, well, that's rather impressive, because he's an up-and-coming and very respect-worthy young director. So, and then when I opened it and found it was science fiction, I thought, oh, crumbs, you know, this is simply not for me. and then I started reading, and it seemed to me the dialogue was pretty ropey. But I had to go on turning the page. And I mean, that's an essential in any script. You know, you've got to know what happens next or what's going to be said next. And I went on reading, and I thought, no, and then I like this. If only we can get some of the dialogue altered. And then I met him, we got on very well, and I found myself doing it, that's all.
And it's made more money than any other movie ever made.
So I'm told.
And
yes.
You've got yourself part of the action.
Ah, well.
2.5%, isn't it?
No, not quite that, no.
What is it? Sir Alec, how much is it?
Well, as you want that story. Please. I tried to keep this dark. I don't know where this all sprang from. I think it was the Evening Standard to blame for this. I had a contract. My agent said, I've asked for 2% of whatever, because we didn't think it would make any, you know. I've had a percentage on a film before, and they lose money like mad if I have a percentage. And I said, oh, fine, all right, 2%. And the day before the film opened in San Francisco, George Lucas phoned me and said, he's like Alan Bennett, he's very diffident and very shy and quiet and, he has a funny little voice. And he said, I think the movie's kind of going to be all right. And I said, oh, I'm glad, George. And he said, yeah, the press quite like it. I said, good. He said, we're pleased with, you know, very grateful for little alterations you suggested. And so we'd like to offer you another 0.5% by making it 2.5%. And I said, well, that's, you know, that's marvelous. Thank you very much. But a matter of a few weeks later, in fact, the day I saw the film, I've just seen it once, the producer, who again is a charming, delightful chap, I said, about this little extra something you were kindly offering, I wonder if we could have something in writing just so that, you know, my agent and so on believes this. And he said, oh, the, about the 0.25%, yes.
No fool there. Yeah. So it's 2.25%, if you put that right, yes, sadly. What's the fascination of it to you, do you think?
I think a marvellous, healthy innocence.
Yes.
Great pace, wonderful to look at, full of guts, nothing unpleasant. I mean, people go bang, bang, and people fall over and are dead. But, you know, no horrors, no sleazy sex. In fact, actually, no sex at all if it comes to that. And a sort of wonderful freshness about it, a kind of like a wonderful fresh air. Mm. When I came out of the cinema into Tottenham Court Road, I thought, oh, Lord, London's awfully sort of gritty and dirty and full of rubbish, isn't it? Because this had all been so
I think that's
invigorating.
Absolutely right, actually. One of the few movies I've come out of recently where I really felt happy and uplifted when I came out. I'd enjoyed myself, actually.
That's all. Yeah. I mean, people are going to read too much into it. It's a simple, simple stuff for all ages.
Are they doing that now with you? Because of the kind of, you know, sort of...
Doing what?
Reading more into it, the sort of guru figure that you play.
Oh, yes, I'm getting some pretty strange letters.
Are
you? I don't mind telling you.
I can imagine, actually.
Oh, no, surely, yes. My wife and I have got problems. Would you come over and live with us for a few months? I think
yes. You could have yourself a fine time.
Harrison, I wonder, working in Star Wars, where you're surrounded with so much hardware and special effects and things that you had to imagine, you didn't actually have the setting there. The first time you saw Star Wars, what were some of your thoughts and your reactions?
Well, I was delighted, of course, and very proud of the people that that created it, grateful to be a part of it.
But did some of it look different from what you had imagined it was going to look?
Well, I had no idea of how skillful or spectacular the special effects were going to be. I was surprised by that. But I knew pretty much what the rest of it was going to be like.
Yeah. Did any particular thing grab you as far as the special effects and where you just thought, wow, I didn't know it was
going to
be like
that? Well, that opening shot is a stroke of genius. I don't want to describe it for fear of ruining it for somebody else. But there is an opening special effects shot which most audiences applaud. It's almost the first shot of the picture. And that's very, very nice to see.
Yes.
You know that you have the audience from that point on.
Yes. Have you always been a kind of Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon, sci-fi fan?
No, I never have. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever seen one of those Buck Rogers or Flash Gordon series.
Well, now, we have something in common, Harrison, because...
you haven't either.
No, I never read that stuff when I was a kid.
Neither did I.
Never interested me, as a matter of fact. And I've never...
Well, George did. George... But this is George's movie, and George was able to write something which was accessible to my intelligence so that I could come up with something that I'd never seen before.
Well, that's what is interesting to me, is the fact that people like you and me and others that I've talked with who say, well, I don't like sci-fi, I don't like that sort of thing.
But I like
wow,
this.
Wow, I love Star Wars.
Yeah.
Why do we like this?
Well, it's a fantasy. It's not science fiction so much as it is space fantasy. And it's about people. It's finally about people and not finally about science. So the energy of the movie goes towards exploring these human relationships, and I think that's what makes it so accessible to people.
When you were making the film, I'm thinking of specifically the robots, for instance. Did they have problems with those because there were people inside them?
There were sometimes people inside, and sometimes, sometimes they were all mechanical. There were about 4 or 5 different versions of R2-D2, the small robot. Mm-hmm. And I think only one of them was used with a person inside of it. But
they have, of course, inevitable problems with something with that much technology. And of course, movies are made under such demands of time and money that it's inevitable that difficulties arise with this stuff. And everything that was being done for the first time. So there were a lot of problems technically to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Did this make for a tenseness?
No.
No?
No, I think it just created a well of energy to deal with it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of energy.
Harrison, are you beginning to see the effects of Star Wars on your personal life and your career? Maybe things that haven't been happening up till now for you?
Well, this, everyone has respect for success, and this film is certainly a success. And it has produced the inevitable change for me, yeah.
In what way?
Well, there are a lot more scripts for me to read and a lot more people interested in using my services, mm-hmm. much to my delight.
What about recognition? Do you, when you go out in public, are you beginning now to be people say, running up to you and want to talk?
Well, you know, I saw the film with an audience for the first time about 3 days ago. Sat next to two people who had just were sitting through the film for the second time, and they engaged me in a conversation about the film, telling me how much they enjoyed it and what it was all about. And I asked them a few questions about specifics of why they enjoyed it so much. After the film was over, they asked me why I had left during the middle of it if I didn't like the movie. And they didn't recognize me at all. No.
Really?
No. I've never been recognized. In fact, in my early career, I considered that to be sort of a problem, that characters that I played in different movies, it was not acknowledged that it was the same person doing the job.
I bet all that's going to change, though. Harrison, thank you so much for talking with us today.
It's
been a pleasure meeting you.
And this is Bobby Wygant at 20th Century Fox Studios in Hollywood.
And winning yet another battle in space was the hero of Star Wars, Luke Skywalker, known in real life as Mark Hamill. And this is Mark's very first appearance on British children's television. So, Mark, welcome to Blue Peter.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks very much for coming along.
My pleasure. I'm surprised you call it a children's show, because when we were filming the movie, I watched Blue Peter all the time.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Tell me, how did you get the part of Luke Skywalker in the first place?
I wish I had an adorable anecdote to tell you, that I was in a restaurant and George Lucas, the director, was having a meal and he leaped up and said, "There's Luke Skywalker." Auditioned? No. Unfortunately, I auditioned like anybody else. And
you got the part?
Yeah.
Had you done any acting before?
Yes, I started doing plays at about age 12. And I went to Los Angeles City College in the theater arts department for 2 years, mm-hmm. and I'd racked up, I finally figured out, about 148 credits before doing a feature film.
Yeah, but Star Wars is really the first really big feature
yes,
that you've done.
Sure.
Had some very big names in, Sir sure. Alec Guinness and Peter Cushing. How did you feel working with them?
Well, I was just staggered. I thought, there's no way I can actually meet this man, much less appear in the same scene with him. I'm speaking of Sir Alec because, unfortunately, I never had a scene with Peter Cushing.
Mm-hmm.
But he was surprised because I went to work 2 days just to watch Peter Cushing work, even though I didn't work with him. And
yeah.
I'm a fan at heart. I had him sign a couple of posters.
Oh, that's nice. Can you tell us a little about what the story is about in
well,
Star Wars?
Well, the story, when you actually put it into words, is only so much nonsense to hang a great visual experience onto. It's the stuff that fairy tales are made of. We have a fairy princess.
Mm-hmm.
We have an innocent farm boy who yearns for adventure. Alec Guinness is a wise old wizard who teaches me a mystical force, somewhat like Merlin would teach a young King Arthur. Harrison Ford plays Han Solo, a cynical space pirate that we hire to transport us through the galaxy. Basically, I'm a farm boy. I inherit...
Farm Boy Makes Good.
Yes.
A nice.
In
I
a
hope
nutshell.
It's a good ending. I shall have to go and see it to make sure it is. Did you have any problems with the fantastic technical tricks that there are in the film?
Well, a lot of the times we would have to just imagine. There would be a blue screen outside the cockpit, like the film clip we just saw. I mean, here we were in these gun ports having a great time, but
in reality,
well, we were in the gun ports, but all we saw was a blue screen. So George would tell us to look, you know, from right to left, like zoom, there it goes, and boom, you know.
So you had to pretend
certainly.
To see things.
But you see, people that's understand, in a way, that's no different than driving a car in a film, which is in fact being towed by a camera car. You're pretending to drive.
Yes.
It's no different than...
It's all the tricks of making a film,
it's all
fact,
make-believe.
But at least you didn't have to wear any of those very complicated costumes when you were playing your part of Luke Skywalker.
Because
some of the actors, in fact, who were playing the baddies, they really did have quite a time of it. Were playing the Imperial forces, they had to wear space-age armour and funny helmets. Talking of funny helmets, John!
John's never looked better, has he?
Oh! John, did you hear that? Mark said
don't
you never looked
that.
Better.
Come round here.
Climb over. John, you're not very frightening, I hate to tell you. Not convincing as a
now, this, mind you, was worn by actors in the England's hottest summer.
Was it?
Remember the summer 76?
It must have been murder.
How exciting to have made such a fun movie, Carrie.
It is.
Yeah, I guess all movies are fun, though, huh? In a different way?
Well, not like this one. You know, we get to do shoot guns and get handcuffed and tortured by the black torture robot. Mm.
When I was a little girl, I used to go every Saturday to see this kind of thing and wonder what was going to happen next week. Now, when you were a little girl, you didn't do that. Is it still exciting for you?
Well, this is, I think, bringing back all those Saturday afternoon serials and things like that. I missed all of it, so now I'm getting a chance to see it myself.
You know, I have not heard one person on this junket say they did not enjoy Star Wars to the fullest. Everybody, all ages from everywhere, likes it.
Oh, well, it's hard not to enjoy it. It's got everything in it. Westerns, Robin Hood, Wizard of Oz. It's got all that, a space fantasy.
Yeah, a lot of Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, except I didn't get the red slippers. I got hairy earphones instead.
And almost a carpet and all that kind of beautiful line about the carpet.
Well, I'll tell George.
I loved it, loved it. When you do, well, like shampoo, it's possible to study a character. What do you do for a fantasy like this as far as studying?
Cross your fingers. There's no way of preparing for science fiction dialogue. You just, I have placed information vital to the survival of the rebellion to the memory systems of this R2 unit. You just hope it gets out of your mouth properly.
But you say it with such dreadful seriousness.
Well, it's serious business. If you played it for comedy, I don't think the film would have been as effective if all of us had done it sort of comic book style, like we were aware that it was
But comic books were very serious business for those who read them, and I guess still do, too, although they deal with a light and fanciful subject, perhaps. They're still kind of serious.
Well, it's the same situation with this, but it's different thing to read it and actually have to say those words, you know.
Well, yeah, I suppose, because it's not exactly your normal conversation piece, is it?
No, although I was, things like, I recognized your foul stench when you were brought on board. I grew up saying things like that.
Did you now?
No. I wish I had. It would have been easier to do.
Oh, and the beautiful, wide-eyed... tilting-headed girl that we saw was you, and you played it so well.
Thank you.
So well. This sort of role ever come to your mind when you thought about being an actress?
No, I don't think I could have ever envisioned any of this. You know, even when you read the script itself, you see all of it written down, a huge spaceship goes screaming across the screen. You can't imagine that kind of thing.
The special effects in this, obviously this is a dumb thing to say, but everybody will anyway, the special effects are absolutely marvelous.
Oh, they're incredible. The first time I saw it was in the theater. I had no idea they were going to be as overwhelming as they were.
Do you catch yourself saying, golly, did I really do that, when you're like holding back the walls and all of these good things?
Well, yeah, and being there and seeing it is definitely a different experience altogether.
It's a very energy-filled film for all of you, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, 9 o'clock in the morning with the hallways exploding. It was hard to muster some energy then, but we got used to it. So used to it, we thought we were going to have to come back to the States with little charges for the first couple of days and set them around the house and blow them up on the way to the kitchen for breakfast.
You wondered where all... The silence was deafening, almost, when you quit hearing it, I suppose. But this is, I think, one of the charms of this movie is that the minute you're out of one thing, you're into another. There's none of this...
There's no rest for
us. And waiting.
There's always some
TIE fighters around the corner, or Darth Vader coming in with his laser sword.
Are we going to have Son of Star Wars or Star Wars 2 or
Star Wars,
or whatever.
Beneath Star Wars? Well, we're signed for two more sequels, but I don't think they'll make two. I think that, or they'd make two at the same time. They haven't really told me. If you find out, tell me. Yeah. I heard they would shoot them in the tropics, you know, like the fourth moon of Yavin, which is where this film ends. So I'll be around with insects and snakes and...
Oh, joy. Is this one of the joys of the glamour of being a star?
The glamour of mosquito bites, shovel on everything, you know.
Tunisia must have been fun.
I didn't get to go.
Oh.
I was on...
Well, that's right, because you weren't there yet.
The two robots and... Mark and Sir Alec got to go. I wanted to go and just hang around.
Shoot, all the fellas get all the fun.
That's right. I'm going to insist that I get to have some exteriors.
Equal sand time.
Yes, exactly.
But shooting, we've talked in a movie like Shampoo where you shoot it out of sequence, that it's a little different.
In this case, it was hard to remember what had just happened. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes... It wasn't that difficult. You know, when you're actually in the garbage room, you don't have to remember that you had just been up in the hallway being blown up.
Well, because this is a series of, almost a series of episodes rather than a continual flow type thing. But how fun, Carrie. Well, I'm going to be waiting for the time you go to the tropics with Star Wars Revisited, or what are we going to call it?
Abbott and Costello meet Star Wars.
I like the idea better. Carrie, you're a delight.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like to adopt you. Do you think I could?
I'll ask my mother. I think she's probably ready for a rest now, yeah.
Mamas are like that. Yes, they are, Carrie. Come see us in Oklahoma.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Any Williams fan, you probably were a bit startled about his latest movie role. He's not in a heavy, serious drama such as Brian's Song or Lady Sings the Blues, his fine movies of the past. He's now Lando, Carzillion, and he's a devilish sort of fellow in The Empire Strikes Back, the new Star Wars movie. Oh, I saw the movie last night.
Calrissian. It's an Armenian name.
Sounds like a kind of a car salesman. I've never... And you really are like that. You're so evil
He's not evil. No. Everybody says he's not evil. He's just a guy caught in a situation. I mean, there's Darth Vader, there's his best friend, and there's his situation. And he's got to figure out how he's going to deal with all of this.
Uh-huh.
And finally, I think he ends up resolving it.
But you don't die. I mean, you're going to now save Han Solo, right?
Because actually what he is, this is really an introduction of a new hero in the whole Star Wars family.
Oh, so you'll be doing the next one and the next
going
one?
On, yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. I got to go out now and get Boba Fett the Bounty Hunter and save Han Solo's life. You know, that's the big thing right now.
Oh, boy. Now, you have a clip with you today.
Yeah.
It's of the entrance, your marvelous entrance in the film, which is such fun. Can you set that up a little bit for us?
Well, actually, all it is it's just an introduction of Lando Calrissian. These people come, Han Solo and Princess Leia and the Wookiee and
Three C-P-O.
They land on my particular domain, which is Cloud City. And so for the first time, you see Lando Calrissian.
All right, we're going to see that clip right now. This is Billy Dee Williams' entrance in The Empire Strikes Back. Oh, God, that's wonderful. I love it. And each thing, even the spaceship, has a character of its own. Now, you haven't worked for a little while, and they came to you with this film, or have you worked and you just don't want to admit it?
Actually, I try to take my time I try to be as selective as possible. But I was about to do something else, actually. But when they came to me about this, I decided, how do you not do a Star Wars? You know, if you want to do a space saga or a space odyssey, I mean, this is probably the best way to go. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. You know. Now, I saw you in something. I have to ask you something, though, before this. Mm-hmm. When you talk to Darth Vader on the screen, do you don't hear his voice, right? Do you hear the script person's voice?
No, you actually hear David Prowse's voice.
Oh,
the man
I
who
see.
Plays him.
But does he breathe like that?
Yeah.
You hear
of course, later on they fill all of that in, you know, so they give it a special
So you're not effect. Talking to nothing. You are really actually talking.
Oh, yeah.
And how much do you actually see? You see the runways and things, mm-hmm. or the things that you go down, but you don't actually see the sets until you see the film, do you?
No, yeah. A lot of your special effects and optics and everything, they're all laid in later. So when I saw it like maybe about three and a half weeks ago for the first time, I mean, I was absolutely totally astounded by what I had seen. It was amazing to me. You know, people talk about production value. You know, they say you put $30 million into this, $23 million into something. You don't see the production. You don't see the value in there. But this
is it's all there. You see all of the money spent in this movie. I mean, it's amazing.
Gosh.
It's extraordinary to me. And Lucas, George Lucas, I mean...
Now, is he kind of crazy to work with, or is it kind of wonderful? What is it?
Well, to me, he represents a whole new breed of filmmaker. He's a future breed of filmmaker. It's like the Coppolas and the Spielberg. They're all like, it's like a little family, and they're all like intellectuals.
You know, I saw a movie that he did originally called THX-1138, which was the very first movie that he ever made, and I knew it. And I saw one of the first things you ever did, which was called Ceremonies and Dark Old Men, about 10 years ago, and I knew then in the audience that you were going to be the star that you are today.
Well,
I really did.
You. I certainly appreciate that. Thank
and
you.
You're also an artist, too. I don't.
Yeah, I just happened to bring
okay,
something.
Okay, well, yes. I can show you okay. the one or two we've got here.
Yeah.
Can you
That's
get
one.
In close on that? That's one.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And,
Oh.
These are watercolors,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Can you see? Are we run out of time?
Yeah.
Oh, darn. Gosh, that's good. Oh, well. Thank you so much for coming in, Billy D.
Well, thank you.
We'll be back after this message with Betty Furness and her Consumer Report, but first, a station break.
What was the Star Wars experience like for you?
Oh, you are naughty boy. You know you've been reading things about me. Well, I don't think I'll share... Yes, I will. How is her photo? See that? It's over 12 inches from there to there. Big feet. Now, Berman and Nathan's have looked after me, man and boy, for years and years and years. And they've never let me down once, except on this occasion, because I was dressed as a rather like an Edwardian chauffeur with a high collar up here and sort of fountain pens across here as Grand Moff Tarkin in Star Wars. And a pair of boots, riding boots, was it came right up to here, tight fitting, you see. Incidentally, I've often wondered what a Grand Moff is. Sounds like something that came out of a closet, clothes closet. Grand Moff, you know. I've gone off the track. They hadn't got time to have my boots made for me, which is usually the case, because of my large feet. So I had to do with a pair out of stock. So there I was on the first day of shooting, this very, very cross, unpleasant gentleman, Grand Moff Tarkin, stomping around, and it was agony, it really was. So the next day I said to dear George Lucas, the director, I said, George, I am not asking for close-ups, but do you think you could shoot me from the waist upwards from now on? And he said, why? And I explained the reason. So he said, oh, all right. And he gave me a pair of carpet slippers. So for the rest of the film, I stomped around looking extremely angry and very cross with that dear little Carrie Fisher and his old grandma offering carpet slippers.
Action. That old man's mad.
You said it, Chewie. Boy, where did you dig up that old fossil?
Ben is a great man.
Yeah, great at getting us into trouble.
I didn't hear you give any ideas.
That old man's mad.
You said it, Chewie. Boy, where did you dig up that old...
That old man's mad.
Well, you said it, Chewie. Where did you dig up that old fossil?
And that's it for episode 45 of the Blue Milk Cafe. I hope you enjoyed the interviews that I found on YouTube. I found them pretty interesting and thought, hey, I will share them with my audience, and hopefully you enjoyed them. A little different kind of episode today. There will not be a Star Wars read-along book at the end of this episode, unfortunately, but they will return next week. And as always, until next time.
I have spoken.
Give the evacuation code signal.
Thank you for visiting the Blue Mill Cafe. We know life is all about passions. Thank you for lending me your ear while I shared some of mine. You can follow the Blue Mill Cafe on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at @ThatBMCPod. And remember, blue milk, it does a body good.
still here? It's over. Go home. Go.